which is very important in our Christian life. So it's very good that we have parts, we have messages in parts. Because I can discover that some people that were here last Sunday are not here this Sunday. And maybe some of you, you are here for the first time after we started this series of messages. So it's very good that we all have opportunity to listen or to hear this message. God has given us three ways on this earth to invest in eternity. Two of them are up for discussion. People can discuss on time, they can discuss on talents. But this other one we call treasures. I try to use the word treasures. I don't want to use the word money, so that we can understand and accept this. But it's something that we have to tell each other, and we have to teach each other. Your treasures, definitely we include the money that you have, right? So you can use these three things to invest into eternity. But time is one of those irretrievable values in life. There's nothing like playback. You know, like you see in movies, that you play back a scene. You have a slow motion of a scene. You cannot have that, right? Kind of play it back. Like, or kind of have a kind of flashback of remembrance of what we have seen before in a movie. So time in life, it's not something you can do like that. Last Sunday, I took us to another dimension. I explained to you that you can plan your work and work out your plan. A management terms that has been used in the 1800s, plan your work and work your plan. Took us to some passages in the Bible, Colossians 3, 22, 25, Romans 12, 1, Joshua 24, 15. Then I made use of something. I've just given the summary, then we go to this message. I told you the reasons why people serve. Two reasons why people serve anyone. Two reasons. You want to serve this person, or you have to serve this person. Do you remember what I said last week? Okay. You want to serve, or you have to serve. And it's good for us to want to serve. That one is good in a relationship. You have to serve. For example, I made use of in the school. You have to serve. You have to read in the particular subject, or you have to go to a particular class because you need the degree. Maybe one of the core courses that you cannot do without. You have to. I remember when I was studying in a graduate college, my master's, there's this aspect I don't like because I told the advisor, I said, I don't need accounting. No, I don't need accounting. Why? I said, I'm an engineer, I don't need accounting. He told me, you need accounting. But he said, well, you have no option. If you want this degree, you need accounting. So I have to do financial accounting and managerial accounting, and I hate it. I hate the two of them. Because they put us together with the accounting students, people studying finance, people that really, their core, their profession is accounting. So there's this lecturer, very tough lecturer in downtown. I look for another lecturer who teaches this particular subject. And this man is in Rice Campus, Winton, Illinois. Because I have to drive from Chicago to Illinois, to Winton, Illinois, to Rice Campus to take this class for the whole summer. One of the times I was going, and I have to go to work. I want you to understand. Sometimes you have to, because you need a degree. I have to go to work. It's in the evenings. I will go to work. I will close from work. Then I have to drive from Chicago through traffic. People are getting out of downtown, going to their suburbs. So we have to struggle together. One of the days, somebody hit my vehicle behind. And then before I can even organize myself, this person was gone. I rushed to the police station. I told them, I didn't know the procedure. That was my first experience. They told me, where is the information? I said, which information? Somebody hit me. So they were asking me this one, that one. I can't answer. And I was looking at my time. The class will begin like 6:30, but 3 hours class. So I just left the police. They said they have to write a report. I just left. I went. I didn't follow up on that. So the cost was on me to repair my car. Because I have to. Some of us, we have to go to work. We don't like the work, but we have to. We need to pay our bills. So we have to go to that particular office. You may not like the people there. You may hate your boss, but you have to, because you need what? You need the money. Amen? So two reasons. You have to, or you want to. But what is important is you want to. You want to love that man. You want to love that woman. Because you want to, not you have to, not by force, not by compulsion. So to serve God, we don't have to. You want to serve God because we are made for God. God made us, for his pleasure. And I took us to, while we were discussing this last week, if I remember, I took us to the story of when Moses built the first church in history. God has been with these people for a while. He's been working with them on the journey and this and that. And then at a point in time, God said, I want you to build a house where I will dwell, a tabernacle. And so Moses called on the people. I put the arrangement as time, talents, and treasures, right? In the time of Moses, Moses places as treasures, talents, and time. And you know that if you want to give your talents, if you have any talent, there's no way you will give a talent without giving the time, right? Yeah. There's no way you can give a talent without giving the time. So, without really wasting time on that aspect, if you see Exodus 35, 4 to 10, Moses told the people to bring, Pastor Moses preached to the whole Israel, the whole community. They all gathered together, and he told them in verse 5, he invites all of them who have a willing heart to bring their treasures to the Lord, not to Moses or the church. He said, bring your treasures to the Lord. Verse 5 of chapter 35 of Exodus. Bring that treasure to the Lord. Bring your treasure to the Lord. And people begin to bring it. They were bringing it. And then Moses went further, that the people who are willing, those who brought that same treasures, he told them to bring their talents. Among them, those who are talented, the craftsmen, he asked them again to come in and use that talent. Sometimes you pass through some things in life because God is preparing you for an assignment ahead. When Israelites were in Goshen in Egypt, and they were doing these bridges and all these things, and they were doing hard labor, less did they know that God was preparing them for a job they're going to do in the wilderness. They're going to make use of this experience. So they got people with experience, and they willingly surrendered that experience, and that was the aspect of talent. So they surrendered this, and then they spent their time to demonstrate this talent. So in this chapter 35 of Exodus, you're going to see the three T's: treasures, talents, and time. Praise the Lord. And when we do things in the right way, I told us last week, God must show his glory. Because the glory of God does not belong to anybody. Does not belong to anybody. God must show his glory. And God must take his glory. In chapter 40 of that same Exodus, we look at verse 34 and 35. The Bible recorded that the glory of God and that the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, that Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Exodus 40, 34 to 35. When you do things right, when you are in the will of God, God must be victorious in your matters. Amen? Amen. So they finished everything. They obeyed Moses. He said, if you believe God, you will be what? Established. If you believe his prophet or his pastor, you will what? You will prosper. So they believed Moses. They believed in God. They gave all that they had. They gave their talent, they gave their treasures, they gave their time, and they did everything to God's purpose. And God came down in his glory. He got to a level that even the glory was so much on that tabernacle built that Moses cannot get inside. He stayed outside. It's different thing today because now God is with us, Emmanuel. We carry the glory of God around now. We don't have any fear again because Jesus purchased this for us. And I took us to Ephesians 2:14 to see that that wall was taken. Jesus took that wall. That wall of partition was taken. The wall that divided the tabernacle from the people because of that glory that Moses cannot get inside. Right now, if it were this day, Moses will walk inside because Jesus Christ took off that wall, that difference. Amen? So, if you want to understand this issue of eternal investment, to invest in eternity, you can take into account what happened in the tabernacle what happened in the wilderness when the first tabernacle was built. That Moses called on the people, those who have a willing heart. It got to a stage whereby in chapter 36 of that same Exodus 6 to 7, Moses had to give an order for the people to stop bringing what they have, to stop giving. That was the greatest revival in history of the church. When a pastor is going to stand and say, stop giving tithe, stop giving your money, stop, we have enough money, the account is overflowing. We don't have, come on, this money is too much in the bank. It was the first time, and I've never had it again, that they had to raise order. Hey, we don't need that money. No bank offering. Amen. That was the time. And I don't know if that time will come again. Oh. But what he said, there's no place for us to keep these treasures. No place to keep all this money. Keep this gold. Keep this silver. Keep this bronze. Don't bring this thing again. Nowhere for us to keep this thing. We got enough. Everything is beautiful. Hey, you are too late. Those people who think they can delay, it was too late for them to bring the money. Praise the Lord. Well, the guy who used the money to buy the plane, we didn't money to service the plane, we didn't money to get a pilot, we didn't money to hang the plane in the airport. Amen. So you must continue to need the money to do those things, maintenance, and to sustain itself to that level of class. Amen. That was a good one. In most cases where you preach, you don't have anybody who will give you a witness. That was a good witness. Praise the Lord. Now today we got to part 3 of this eternal investment. Part 3 of eternal investment. And this aspect that I want to explain, I want to go to the book of Malachi. But it's going to be something that is challenging because some people hate you talk about tithe, hate you talk about money, hate you talk about offering. And most of the people that hate these things are people that are not paying their tithes, people that are not giving offering. They don't want to hear you talk about this. But I'm not talking about you because it's something that I have to preach. Amen? Maybe some people think I'm going to talk about money today. They stay away, right? No. You see, God is good. God is so good. There's no way I'm going to talk about that without talking about time. And there's no way I'm going to talk about time. I'm not going to talk about talent. I have to talk about all these things. So, as we continue the study of time, talent, and treasures, we're going to be putting them together. So I'm just going to touch a little bit of this offering and tithe. Not that it's going to be the call today. But I wouldn't go without telling you something because I'm going to stop when it is about 15 minutes or 10 minutes to 1 because I want us to summarize 1 o'clock. I promise you, right? I want to keep my promise. Service will start 11 o'clock and the choir, get on your seat when it's about that time so you can enjoy, praise and worship, everything. I don't want you to be running around. And you did well today, amen? Amen. Thank God for your leaders. They are serious-minded people. Time has eternity wrapped up in it. Do you believe that? Time has eternity wrapped up in it. Time is a relative thing. 2 weeks on a vacation is different from 2 weeks on a diet, right? It's relative. 2 weeks on a vacation is like, don't end, please. Let's keep on all you can. All you can, Puerto Rico. All you can, Cozumel. All you can, Barbados. And St. Lucia. Praise the Lord. All you can. 2 weeks of that is quite different from 2 weeks of diet. Is that not right? So, time is relative. Got eternity wrapped up in it. The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Spend your time on something that will outlast your time. Time cannot be repeated or relived. No literal instant replay about time. Time appears only on that one appear only on film. Instant replay. And because of this, devil has come up with ideas to waste people's time. And I will give you 5 of these ideas. If I cannot get to the book of Malachi today, when it is time for me, I'm going to stop. Then we'll continue. This is in part, right? So it can take time. I can see some of you are so serious. You come to church every Sunday. Good. So you will enjoy this series as we continue. Amen? And by the grace of God, if Brother Temitope, we finish with the DVD, those who are not here can get one and listen to what we are talking about. Amen? 5 proven ideas how to waste time. If you put these 5 surefire suggestions in motion and you set set everything right, I'm telling you the truth. You will set a new record. A new world record on time wasting. If you want to set a new world record on time wasting to be the best and break record of those who have wasted time in the past, put these 5 ideas into play. You will set a new world record on time wasting. Number 1, say worry alert. It's a way to waste time. Worry. Start worrying early in the morning and intensify your anxiety as the day passes. Start worrying early in the morning. You waste a lot of time that you cannot get this time back. Waste time, worry. When the day is going, intensify. Let it pass into anxiety. And I told you in the past, one of my sermons, I said, unrealistic expectation minus reality is equal to what? Is equal to frustration and waste of time. Unrealistic expectation. Some people have unrealistic expectation about their wife. Unrealistic expectation on their husband. Take reality away from unrealistic expectation. You get frustration. You waste time. Some want their pastor to play God. It's not good to play God. You want your husband to play God. It's not possible. You want your wife to play God. There are some things your husband has limitation. Don't be like a child. Children will tell, I remember when I traveled out of the country and my wife was back home in Nigeria, the children, my kids, they were asking her everything, not knowing that she's the only one now. I had no money to send back to Nigeria. I was still a student. So she's the only one taking care. So one day, the first one, she's now grown up, told the mother something, and the mother said, I don't have the money. Say, go to the bank now. Go to the bank now. Don't have money. Go to the bank. Money is in the bank. Go there. And then she was trying to explain to her that you don't just go to the bank. You have to have something there to go there. But she won't understand. Mommy, you say there's no money. What do you mean? Go back. Go get money in the bank. Unrealistic expectation. Take that. Take reality from that. If your expectation is realistic expectation, it's just mathematics that I form. So don't quote me. Don't go and ask a mathematician. They may not have something like that. I just formed that. If you have realistic expectation minus reality is equal to enjoyment. Realistic expectation realistic one, if you are very realistic, minus reality is equal to enjoyment. You don't have anxiety. You have contentment. Amen? Amen. And godliness with contentment is a great gain. But you want your husband, who cannot buy a spoke of bicycle, to go and buy you plane. Ha. You will be frustrated and you will waste your time. Valuable time you waste. Valuable time you waste. Let us be realistic. Be realistic. Don't do as if you live in another planet. Be realistic. Amen? Am I talking to somebody? Made hard and fast predictions. Very hard and fast predictions. For example, 1 month before his July 1975 issue, disappearance of this man called Jimmy Hoover. He announced, this man gave an announcement that he will not need a bodyguard. There was a president in Nigeria, in Africa, in Egypt. I think it's Anwar Sadat. But Tony gave me this story before. He was talking about the fact that if you put on all bulletproof, are you going to put it on your head? Is that not Anwar Sadat? And when he was going to be assassinated, where did they target? Thank you. See, brethren, don't have hard and fast predictions. Predictions that you know, this one is not something, and that's why some people are highly deceived. Highly deceived. They want somebody to predict for them. They want somebody to conjure for them. They want somebody to turn something to something for them. They want something. They want something. They just want, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Tell me I'm going to be a millionaire. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. There are some people, you just pray for them easily. They don't want that. After you pray, talk something. Prophesy something. Enemy is going to jump from your roof now. Enemy is going to jump from your roof. Where you sleep, open your eyes. Don't sleep and close your eyes. Open your eyes. Enemy is going to jump, going to jump. You say, yeah. That prayer is going to be answered. Look at the testimony of Sister Florence. Just call her. Pray with her. Not telling her anything. But then at the end of the day, she believe it. You believe God, you'll be what? Established. You will be established if you believe God. If you believe his prophet, you will do what? Come on, it's faith. Faith and fear. You either have faith or you fear. So some people, they know that you will not have that faith, so they will create that fear in you. And then testimony came. The third one. Fix your attention on getting rich. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. If you can do all these things, you will break world record of time wasting. Fix your attention. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. Anything that comes your way, grab it. Even selling cocaine. Using credit card. I just want to be rich, right? I don't care wherever the rich is going to come from. Either it's biblical, it's not biblical. Care about God. Even if I'm going to be rich for 7 years, we have people that will go and look for, you know, fudu to be rich. They will give them, they said they will bring hen, you know. Eat chicken, hen. They will put grain on the ground. And ask the hen to pick grain. They said if you pick only, that's what they told me. I've never done it before. So I'm just telling you what I had. They said if you should pick 5 grains, they will say, okay, listen to me. You'll be rich for 5 years. You will be rich all over. But then after 5 years, you get to get out. See, some people say, yeah, just let me be rich. If it's just to be rich one day, I want to be a millionaire. They say some people, they will accept that. But when the 5 years coming very close, they say, no, I don't want the riches again. I don't want to. They will say they will go back to the people and say, okay, listen, take that money now. And let me continue. That 5 years came too fast. And the man will say, it's too late. So fix your attention on getting rich. I don't think I will go to Malachi this time around. Compare yourself with others. This is a real time waster. Compare yourself with who? If you do that, you will waste your time. You'll not be able to invest your time in eternity. You'll not be able to invest your treasures in eternity. You don't have time to invest your talent in eternity. Compare yourself with others. Some of you are gifted to sing, but you want to preach. You're comparing yourself. Ah, that pastor is speaking. I want to speak like that. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Some wives, they will tell their husband, why are you doing like this now? Don't you see the husband of so-so-so person? Ha! When he comes, look at the way he's talking. You never know what that person is facing in their own corner. But just compare. Ha! You only see the one outside. You know some people, they smile all the time. Maybe something is going on behind. You won't know all those things. They compare. You know, this one is common back home in Nigeria where you have people living in face-to-face houses, face me and face you houses. They compare. Some women, when they see another family killing a chicken, that weekend, the man no go see ground at all. Say, you, why you can't come home with raincoat? Why do you go buy cow raincoat, bring home? Don't you see the one that brought chicken, the poor chicken? Look at that one, broke okporopo. No, look at the stockfish. The man brought the stockfish. I saw him walking in the house with stockfish. You, when am I going to continue to endure with you? Now, the woman may not know where this man got the stockfish. The woman may not know where this man got the chicken he's bringing home. All is that he brought chicken. You must also go and bring chicken. Maybe the man brought peace. The other one that brought chicken or stockfish brought trouble. You never know. To waste time is to compare yourself with somebody. It's a great time waster. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. I'm telling you, be who you are. So you'll be able to invest your time, your talent, and your money. Amen. Lengthen your list of enemies. Another time waster. Lengthen the list of your enemy. Every day, yeah, it's my enemy. Put it down. Yeah, it's my enemy. Another enemy I got today. Put it down. Continue to write down the list of your enemies. It's a great time waster. Because devil will give you more. The person that greets you, you could turn that person to be enemy and say, you didn't greet me very, very well. I saw the way you greeted such a person. It's not the same way you greeted me. So it's my enemy now. Oh, he didn't buy that from me. It's my enemy. Oh, he didn't give me that gift. He's my enemy. He didn't do that. So begin to lengthen the list of your enemies. If there is any one thing above all others that will keep your wheels on spinning, is perfecting your skill at the blame game. Blame somebody for something. It will keep you going. You will be wasting time. Blame game. Blame somebody for your problem. Blame somebody for everything. Blame somebody. Blame your husband. Blame your wife. Blame your children. Blame your pastor. Blame your church. Blame your society. Blame your generation. Blame your race. Blame game. It's a great time waster. Some people in this country, see, they are still blaming my forefathers that I read about that sold people into slavery. I didn't know when they sold people. I was not there. I didn't know what. I only read about it. But they are still blaming Africa. Oh, you are the one. You are the one. They are still blaming. Some are still blaming George Washington. So I still blaming people that, come on, blame game. It's a real time waster. There was a conference. I want you to read something first. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. I think there is a story I will give you. I don't want to go to that story now. I will give you that next week. But read Matthew 6, 21, please. Yes, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is going to be. Where your treasure, where you place your treasure, Jesus said it, that is where your heart is going to be. Listen, time, talent, and treasures, these are what God has given you. God gave you these things. They are not yours. You are just steward of this thing. That if God asks it back, or asks any of these three things back, it shouldn't be hard for you to give it back because God gave you these things. Everything in life is a test. We'll be graded according to how we make use of things that God has given us. God is going to grade us. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring the old tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me. Test me. Do you trust God for your livelihood? Do you trust God? Do you trust him for everything happening to you? Do you trust God for your daily bread? Do you trust God for every need in your life? Test me. The only place I've seen God ask for tests is this Malachi. I don't know if there's any other. Let me keep making the search. It's not yours. He said, test me for this. And God was referring to what the people of Israel have done. He was accusing them that you are not doing the right thing. You are robbing me. Test me. Bring all these things to the stalker. Because God owns this thing and he's asking this thing back. If God asks you back for what he has given you, should there be any trouble? Brother, should go. Give me that, my $20. Give me my $20. Thank you. Now, I want to ask you the question. Is it hard for him to give it to me? I gave it to him today before we were about to start the service. Keep this $20 for me. I take it back from you. He kept it. And I just called him and asked him to give it to me. Did he hug you? He gave it to me. Because it's mine. Did he feel anything bad? Keep it for me. You are the steward of this money. Keep that money. He shouldn't be asking me, why should I give it back to you? What are you going to use that money for? If I ask him and he's telling me I don't see that money, then he's robbing me. It's robbing me. Now, that's what God is saying here. You are robbing me. You are robbing me. He said, how have you robbed God? He said, in tithe and offering, you rob me. Because I gave you this treasure. It's not yours. You are just a steward. I can even ask you to stop using it now. You won't even ask me any question, right? Give me my money. You must. Why is it that when God is asking you for time, you will argue, you have excuse? He's asking for treasures. He's asking you to give talent. Talent that God gave you. You see, you give excuse and excuse and excuse. Listen to me. If you continue on blame game, blaming God, play excuse, do this and that, you will not invest into eternity. Think about this. You will not invest into eternity. And I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Before you know it, time will run by. I think this will take me to tell you this story. I didn't want to tell you before. I think I have to tell you. Let me tell you this story. I can continue this one in next Sunday. Am I talking to you? There was a conference. Devil called all demons. Devil called them. All the wicked demons, moderate demons, super wicked demons, call all the levels of demons and said, hey, listen, these Christians, how can we stop them? How can we stop these Christians? Give suggestions. These Christians, they are growing wings. How can we stop them? I will give you all the series of ideas they gave to the devil. Are you with me? I will give you this. Amen? Amen? One of them raised up his hand. One wicked whip. Raised up his hand and said, I got an idea. Got a plan, master. When I get on the earth, I will take charge of people's thinking. I will tell them there is no heaven. All these issues. I will take over their heart. They are thinking them. Why are you wasting your time? Don't listen to the pastor. There is no heaven. Ah, devil said, hey, that is not true. That one is not going to work. They will never believe that. This book of truth, this Bible, is full of messages about the hope of heaven. True sins forgiven. They know that God will forgive their sins. They know all these things. They don't want these Christians, these people won't believe that. They know of the glory in the future. They know that if they can make it in heaven, it will be glorious. So they won't believe that. Hey, demon, keep that aside. That is not acceptable. Another one sat in one corner. I said, hey, I got another idea, Satan. What is your idea? Very, very, very brainstorming conference. I tell them there is no hell. No hell. That is just a mimic. It's just a deceit. They say, no. They won't believe that. Jesus, while he was physically on earth, talked more on hell than of heaven. So how do you think they will believe that? They won't believe that. Another one said, hey, Master Devil, I have a brilliant one. Say, tell us your own. I know the answer. I just tell them there is no hurry. No hurry. Take it easy. No hurry. Take it easy. Let them go to church. Let them listen to God's word. But tell them, don't worry. Take time to do the will of God. Take time to put to action all that you are hearing from pastor. No hurry. Investment in time, talent, and treasures. No hurry. Tell them no hurry. You will invest after you give birth to all your children. You will invest. After you marry, you will invest. After you graduate from college, you will invest in eternity with your talent, with your treasures, and with your time. No hurry. Devil said that is the answer. Go and invest your time on these people. Tell them to take it easy. Tell them that they get all the time. Tell them to slow down. Tell them to prepare. When the pastor is speaking to them, get into them and let them just say, no hurry. Slow down. Don't rush. You did not kill Jesus. You are not Judas. He is a merciful God. Slow down. And the devil said, that is the answer. And you can see today, pastor, we preach and preach. People come to church. People sing and dance. People listen to the message. But when they go out, they do their own thing. They relax. No worry. When I get to 70 years old, I will begin to put into action everything pastor is telling me. I will write everything down. I will write everything down. In fact, I will buy every CD. Oh, I bless you from Brother Temitope. He's taking, he's recording, he's videoing. I will pack all the video. When I retire from work, I will have time. I will show the pastor that I know the Bible. Devil said that is the answer. Keep them on that. Let them continue to go to school. Let them continue to walk. Tell them there's no worry. Don't let them to slow down. Let them tell them don't walk. Don't worry to walk about. Don't walk about that. Just tell them to slow down. We shall continue next week. Father, we bless you, worship you because we're a good God. You know where our treasures are. That is where our mind will be. We want to thank you, Father, because you want us.